Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cheese and Pickle.
Supposed to be sleigh bells, but it's actually off the Christmas tree. The Christmas tree's up, decorations are up, it's snowing outside and it's Christmassy and I don't care.
In fact, we basically couldn't watch Strictly as it was going out live because as soon as our kid said, it's snowing, we just paused the TV and went out
to outside the snow. Anyway,
like pathetic children.
Obviously, people from other areas of either the world or Britain will not realise how exciting it is that it snowed. Anyway, it snowed in London during Strictly. We all got overexcited.
London snow is better than other snow, though. Don't you agree, darling?
Metropolitan elite snow. No, it's unusual. So we got overexcited.
It's so lovely. It's been ages.
But it made Strictly more Christmassy. And obviously, the build up towards the climax of Strictly is the build up towards Christmas. It's part of our ritual calendar, the Strictly thing. And snow is part of it now.
I am well and truly festive now. I'm Julia Rayside. He is Joel Morris. And you're listening to Come Strictly Dancing, in case you weren't aware.
In the snow.
Jingle bells, jingle bells. So, yes, it's a big week. It's semi final week. There are only five couples left. Everything to play for. Everyone's trying not to look too desperate.
Everyone's really tired. The judges are tired.
Everyone's
nothing they say
so
makes
tired.
Sense.
Yeah, actually, Motsy had a properly uncoordinated, incoherent week.
Whole evening of just words coming out of faces. It was very weird.
But she did look fabulous.
She looked fabulous. And can I just point out that Craig looked like either Joel Grey from Cabaret or Hugo the Scary Dummy from Dead of Night. Someone had given him the full Cesar Romero Joker makeup. It was really odd. He looks great. I was just thinking how great here.
Different makeup artist tonight.
I don't know. Someone was sabotaging him. He looked like he was haunted. Maybe it's a ghost story for Christmas and you're haunted by the face of Craig. Anyway, he was made up a little bit white face, a bit clowny.
Right, so we have many dancers to get through. There are two per couple. That is too many.
Yes.
But let's just get through that now. There are 10 dancers.
Let's just assume they all did all the dances.
They did every single one.
Did a waltz and tango and everything.
A couple of repeats as well. There are a couple of passos and a couple of waltzes and a couple of this, a couple of that.
Passo doble, doble.
Let's just begin at the beginning with Fleur and Vito, their first time ever opening the show.
Yeah, long overdue.
Which was, I know, right? Because, you know, that girl can close a show. She sure as hell can open one too.
She's solid.
She's fantastic. So she was doing a Paso Doble to Give Yourself Over to the
Time
Moment.
Time Is Now by the Maloca.
So The Time Is Now on You. There was a proper title for that song.
Good.
I love that song.
Can't believe it hasn't been on the Strictly before. Maybe
I
it has
know.
Been. It was very exciting to hear it belt out.
It is. As dance music goes, and I'm not massively one for it, I bloody love Maloca and that song in particular.
Good, strong opening.
It was a really strong opening. She made some glorious, like, you know, those staccato passo shapes. She looked like she was having a row. There was one bit where she ended up chasing him around the floor. Really impressive.
Loads of good chunks. It was all in three little bits. There was sort of some skirt business. There was some high kicks.
Always a bit of skirt business.
But the skirt business kept threatening. I kept thinking it was going to be Velcro. Bucks Fizz.
I am the bull.
He kept tugging at the skirt. I thought, it's going to come off. But no, they were classier than that. Even classier than Bucks Fizz. Even classier than David Van Day's Bucks Fizz.
If
they
that's
pulled the
possible.
Girls' bras off.
Oh my God,
amazing.
That's so horrible.
Awful sexist.
If you haven't seen that, is it not? What's it called?
It's called
not
Trouble
the
at the Top.
Yeah.
You can find it on YouTube. It's called Trouble at the Top Bucks Fizz. And it's Jim Carter narrating attempt of David Van Day to take over the band.
He
Bucks
tried
Fizz.
To steal Bucks Fizz it's, from Bucks Fizz.
It's amazing. It's one of the
that.
Best heist movies of all time. It's the Italian Job. It's brilliant.
We quote from it often. You're looking very conjugal today, by the way.
It is.
Black is very slimming, isn't it?
Anyway. Yeah, it was as exciting as Buck's fizz, but like even better. Yeah, because the skirt didn't come off; it just flapped about. It looked
he tugged it about a bit, trying to get it to come here, come over here.
It looked like he got caught in the curtains. It was really good. It was a good, powerful dance.
But best of all was the choreography was great. I loved it, but best of all was the ending, where literally as the end moment, the end beat of the song, she just hurls herself towards him, kind of like a weeping angel about to suck his soul and his future from him, and then just sort of stopped in midair, kind of 45 degrees to the floor, arms spread. She looked amazing.
It looked like a little bit like the spirit on the front of a Rolls Royce. It looked like a statue on this sort of, where someone's diving and they've sort of been caught
in
marble. It was beautiful.
It was so beautiful. And I thought slightly undermarked in some quarters. We'll get to that. Shirley said, "I feel your power," which they keep saying to her over and over again. And I get it. Fleur is, she has like an athletic physicality, and she is a kind of like, she has command of her limbs, and she's, there's a lot of core power in there. That's kind of like how her body's set up. But it just keeps coming back and back to it's almost, they don't say it's a bad thing that she's powerful, but they sort of don't like it.
Yeah, it's almost like they're sort of saying, if only you could be more like Rose when Rose and Giovanni, like a little petal that floats about, and you go, she's a different sort of dancer. Yeah. And actually, I was saying this week was a week where she sort of, I think, overtook all comers for me and went, I think out of all the people here, and there's some good dancers, she's the one who, when she starts dancing, I go, good, I can't wait.
Oh, me too.
She's such an exciting presence on the dance floor. She's brilliant.
Yeah, and I've gone from, I'm pretty basic. I'm like, Helen or Hamza for the final.
Good story.
Or to win because of the stories, and I love a story. I'm a sucker for that. The story for me this week is becoming how Molly and Fleur endlessly ending up in dance-offs, becoming the underdogs effectively when they're two of the best dancers in the competition. It's so mental.
I don't know if that's happened before, where usually
towards
the end, the people who are best at dancing, you tend to assume are going to go to the final. Mm-hmm. And because of the slight disjoint between judges' scores and judges' attitudes and the public's inability to remember these two dancers for whatever reason, it might just be because they've both got sort of stage school talent show background kind of thing, you go, I expect them to be brilliant.
They didn't start off rubbish and kind of get better, which obviously strictly, purists love the journey, the upward trajectory. It's why, we'll talk about who went this week, but it's why Will went this week.
Yeah.
That guy didn't really have a story. He didn't start kind of ropey and improve. He came out absolutely dazzlingly, almost a fully formed, finished
bit
thing.
Bit of a surprise, wasn't it?
And then just kind of plateaued and dipped and didn't do a lot for several weeks in a row. And we'll talk about the bucket hat and the bloody awful Manchester dance in a minute.
Stop it.
Back to Fleur.
Who was wonderful.
Anton said it's probably your best dance for the whole season. He was completely and gave her a 10 as well. Absolutely loved it. Craig said that she lost her footwork and balance slightly a couple of times there. He'd like to see a softer Spanish line again, like less powerful, softer. So stop trying to break her. But he loved the aggression of it. And Motsi
did words.
Said she was like watching a lion parade.
Loads of words. Time for the badger parade, like in Harry Hill.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
No, she was really weird. She
loved her storytelling.
She was the one who most said the words power and strength over and over and over again. She was trying to explain how power was strength and strength was power. And it was a little bit like listening to a 5-year-old explain the Power Rangers. Because the red Power Ranger is power and strength and strength. And after a while, he went, I've completely phased out here.
She had slightly, it took her a while to get her jaw and her brain connected.
I think she was so blown away by the power.
She was, but also Motsi again and again, because she's a woman of colour and she's very sensitive to how women of colour are described and talked about. And that's something, I'm white, I'm a woman, but I don't hear that. So I'm not looking out for it. But she's been very good to pick up on, can we stop talking about this kind of this strength needing to be something that you hide or you squash, or you can direct it in interesting ways and you can use it to your advantage. But she's much more, let's not talk about this like something that you're doing wrong.
Yes.
I love.
She's been really keen to say, this isn't a disadvantage. And I think slowly,
or as she said this week, blah, 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 strength, strength, power,
strength, power, power, strength, power, strength.
Blah, 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 blah.
But yes, totally on side with her saying, will you please look at what actually Fleur is bringing to the competition, which is a different sort of dancing and a different sort of energy. That as the competition goes on, I'm going, can I watch that every week? Because it's absolutely brilliant.
So the scores, Craig gave her an 8, so did Shirley. I thought they were being really stingy. Motsi a 9 and Anton a 10. I think she deserved more than that. But you know, there you go. What are you going to do? It's the semi-final. I would have liked to have seen Craig's 10 paddle once.
Yes. A little bit stingy all over the board for a semi-final. I was expecting a little bit more excitement. But maybe that means we're going to build a bit more for next week.
I guess so. There's four couples next week, so I guess they're saving it up.
Somewhere to go.
Then we very briefly had the terms and conditions. Obviously, Greg James was given, from Radio 1, was giving free rein, and he decided to do it with his phone in the bath. Fair play.
Yeah, it was nicely characterful and, yeah, made me laugh.
And he did do a really good impression of Tess saying the word couples, which I very much enjoyed.
Little bonus there for the true fans.
So Helen and Gorka, their first dance this week was a waltz. I didn't write down the song. That must have been...
I've written down it was a waltz to some theme music from some Jerry Bruckheimer movie, probably one where the world is being hit by a bus.
Oh, super.
Yeah, it seemed to be something about a couple, and I don't know. I couldn't recognise it because it had that sound of all those songs. It was one of them.
Yeah, and it was... There was sort of like a white sort of shimmery dress and a kind of ponytail affair thing going on. She looked great. And it was, I thought, beautifully danced, but not if you look to her face. This week, whatever confidence work they've been doing on her,
yeah.
It's like she's had the Men in Black mind rubber and she's gone, oh shit, oh shit. Her face seemed to be very subtly saying, oh shit, a lot this
week. I think this is the week. Last couple of weeks are the peak of the Helen confidence build.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And suddenly she's looked down and she's in the semi-final.
No.
And she's going, oh! And it was really weird because the dancing was all beautiful. Though I must admit, I'm not a fan of dry ice.
No.
Because it starts dry ice and you go, I can't see her feet.
You can't see the feet. And is that like a ploy to cover the feet?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, she's good at footwork.
They might be on wheels. I don't know. Are they on a trolley? I want to see the
Are
feet.
Are you suggesting there were secret casters?
Yes. I think or skates or something. But yeah, apart from dry ice, nice look and things. But yes, everything looks really good. And occasionally the camera would catch her face and you went, oh, you're really frightened. And
it slightly pulled you out of the dance, I think.
Yeah, it looked like it was nearly as frightening as going to Blackpool.
Right.
Like sort of the pressure.
As in on a roller coaster.
Yeah. Oh, no, I was just what they make Blackpool into this terrifying, like high stakes place.
Yeah.
Suddenly, I think Helen was the only one who was showing in her face that this is the semi-final. They're about to go somewhere that maybe this is a story we are forgetting from her story, which is if she is a nervous, anxious, shy person who's been through a shitty year, the last place she was expecting to be was this far in.
Yeah, who knows where her head's at the moment. Maybe you said it's right. Maybe she looked down and went, oh God.
You know what, we all know this psychologically. One of the things that can frighten you if you're someone who is low confidence is what happens if it goes well.
Oh, yes,
success
absolutely.
Can frighten you. I remember Ashley and B said a brilliant thing to me once. She said, we're all frightened of change and the unusual. And sometimes succeeding feels like an unusual place.
Oh, hard relate.
So maybe she's feeling a bit, oh my God, how did I get here? Yeah. I should have been out on week three.
Absolutely. Anton was very pro and he said it was beautiful and soft and romantic. Loved her promenade position. Her footwork was great. Said it was gorgeous. But I sort of, although it's a bit harsh, and obviously it's Craig, so he's always very harsh, I thought Craig was kind of onto something. He said there was gapping and it felt slightly rigid. And I think that's more about if you look at her face, you start to lose confidence in what her body's doing.
She needs to sell it. Which she was doing the last couple of weeks with the amazing sort of Mein Lieber hair and sort of toodaloo. And you go, oh, you're confident.
I think she pushed herself to do that last week so convincingly. Yeah. And this week she's just lost a little bit of it. And it's two dances as well. I bet she was just like,
shit.
Holy shit, there's too much in my head. So Motsy said, you made it your own. Thank you for that. And blah, 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 blah. My mouth doesn't say my brain is trying to
power strength, strength your power.
And Shirley said it was really nice. It showed the two of them, you know, Helen and Gorka's friendship, but it lacked a little swing and sway. So in the end, Craig gave it an 8, the rest of them 9s. I thought that was pretty fair. I actually think this wasn't Helen's strongest week.
No.
But I was absolutely adadamant she had to be in the final, whatever happened.
Oh, yeah.
It just wasn't quite the way I'd hoped she'd get through.
Yeah, don't want her to go out, but maybe, yes, maybe last week was a little peak.
Oh, so good. You can't beat a bit of Fosse snarl. Right, so next it was Hamza and Yavita who did their brilliant Charleston to Pencil Full of Lead. He was in a kilt. I have several friends who've got, let's face it now, a bit of a thing for Hamza, who just kind of just tweeted his name as the dance began with lots of exclamation marks. But in particular, our friend Natalie Haynes is really cross that one of our mutual friends, Richard Coles, keeps like posting pictures of himself with Hamza somewhere in Scotland, probably going on a wildlife trip with him or something. And she's like, why haven't you invited me?
Everyone wants
to marry Hamza.
Everyone wants some Hamza action.
They all want a piece of him, the ladies of a certain age.
Didn't it? I mean, it opened up. It was a beautiful moment. It opened up and you saw the two of them and it had a lovely ditto maybe with what I'm saying about Fleur. I know what I'm going to get.
Yeah.
So every week I'm excited because it's like opening a present.
Oh,
you go,
God, yeah.
They're going to do. The two of them turned up and they were on that set and he thought, it's going to be a Charleston, so it's going to be really lively.
Yeah.
You know how brilliant Jovita is. You know how brilliant he is. They were
and
dressed in those costumes. And the tune started up and he went, oh, this is going to be great.
Yeah.
And there's that, the thing you always want from Strictly, as you get, as the contest goes on, is confidence. I'm going to enjoy watching this. At the beginning, when you're watching the people who are a bit more clunky,
oh, yeah,
you're frightened for
we
them.
We talked about it's the no clench. Fun. You yeah. do the inner clench, and it's a great pelvic floor workout, but my God, it's not very relaxing.
This is the opposite of the clench. And one of the things I think that is magical about these two is, regardless of each of their individual sets of skill, this is about partnering these two. Because I think that even on his weak weeks where I haven't enjoyed him,
he partners her brilliantly.
He shows her off brilliantly. And the thing you take away from watching these two dance is, A, he is surprisingly naturally brilliant at this. But because of that, he shows off that she is such an astonishing dancer.
Oh, my God.
Because he and she are confident enough to throw her around, put her in these weird shapes.
So let's talk
it's a
about
miracle.
The lifts.
Pair of them.
I was looking forward to it, but the lifts were beyond. They were so good, especially the one where she kind of swings around him like a lamppost.
Yeah.
But like about an inch off the floor.
Just incredible.
I mean, the muscle control of that woman is insane.
And I think the pair of them, the dynamic is that he's sort of throwing this energy into her and she's responding by bending into these unusual shapes. It's
yeah.
a lovely thing to watch, the transfer of energy from one to the other. They
gorgeous.
Are a brilliant couple.
Yeah, and they were doing, obviously, this week, those little videos where they sit and watch the judges telling them what they think of them. And it was really nice. The judges all just agree. He is gifted. They can't really explain it beyond that. He's not trained in dance, but he is just gifted. His body wants to dance.
There is something lovely about watching them as well, because when you're watching people partner, sometimes you're watching them mirror each other. So the real joy about, say, John and Johannes a couple of years ago was they partnered and mirrored each other so brilliantly. Their body types weirdly matched. The lovely thing about these two is their body types are so different.
But he can totally keep up with
her. And that's what's astonishing, is you're watching. There is a real joy, and this is not going to be, I'm hoping this isn't being insulting to him as a larger man. There is a Stan and Ollie feel to them. One's really small and light and bird-like, and one is sort of large and it's surprisingly dainty.
But he makes her look like she, I mean, she doesn't weigh much, but he makes it look like she weighs nothing at all.
But as we talked about before, this is, you're watching with dance, you're watching physics, you're watching people defy physics, and there's a lovely thing about two very different silhouettes, two very different body shapes, just somehow balancing each other so perfectly.
So
it's delightful.
Gorgeous. So Shirley and Motsy are on their feet. I mean, the kilt didn't lift too high. Craig said it was very brave.
How was that done?
Charleston in the kilt, I do not know. Lead weights, I'm assuming.
Series of cables running to Dave Arch.
But he said that, Craig said it was full of detail, really difficult choreography, and just had a slight complaint about his lazy left foot in a swivel, hence a 9. It should have got a bloody 10. It was an outstanding Charleston. Motsy said they were so alive. It was everything. He was in control of everything. They've lifted the level of lifts in Strictly for everybody else now. They just, you know, everyone's got to try and match their incredible skill. And Shirley said it was really amazing how when he was swiveling, he could change direction mid-swivel. And the lifts and the time and the execution were amazing. I haven't written down. I know Anton said, you brought everything amazing. He didn't really have much to say apart from, yay.
Oh, Anton noises. Anton go, ooh.
Yeah, no, he did. He was fairly coherent this week. I'll give him that. 9 from Craig, as predicted, and then 10s for everybody else. And quite bloody right, too. And then on to Molly and Carlos, who did their American Smooth to Go Easy on Me by Adele.
Adele.
Yeah, Molly's been in 4 dance-offs. I'm just like having that in your head, where she goes into another sort of bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, kind of big smiley routine. It's like, how does she keep doing that?
I suddenly got a little tiny sort of pang of psychology. In the same ways we've been really enjoying watching Helen and the psychology, seeing her face, the psychology of this. And I suddenly thought, Molly, I think of her as quite tough. And she's doing this stuff, and they keep talking about her being tough. And she's really young.
Resilient.
And what's the one thing I know about her? She's come through stage school. Mm. Now, I don't know what's wrong with people who are performers. I imagine they're just all mental. But one of the things they are doing, and performers are quite happy to say about themselves, is they are seeking approval.
Yeah.
That why you go on stage and want applause is because there's something in you that sort of needs that fuel. And what's weirdly really cruel, I think, about how Molly's had her journey through is that every week she works hard, does what she was told at stage school would be enough.
Yeah.
And she's really, and she goes out there and does it.
And she gets good scores.
Everyone goes, you've done it perfectly. And then the public go, we don't like
that.
We're
not sure about you,
Or just withdraws its approval or just doesn't react. It's like she's going out there to no applause.
It's horrible.
And I kept thinking, that must be the very dictionary definition of what would dent a child or a young woman from that background.
Yeah.
She is used to getting applause because she's really good and she's had a sensationally successful career. She's at the beginning of something. She's clearly great. Yeah. She's got a great future. She's got on television. She's got her own show. And then suddenly everyone went, actually, weirdly, we prefer Tony Adams to you.
Oh my God, I know. And what did that do to your head?
And I don't know. So I'm now watching her going, God, you are just... she is proper the essence of being a trooper because she is not showing it. And that's brilliant.
That's this whole show in a nutshell. What we're seeing as like farties at home on the sofa is the essence of showbiz boiled down every Saturday night. They're all slapping on their smiles and the makeup and the glitz and the glamour. No matter what they're feeling inside, that literally is showbiz.
It's great
that's
to watch.
That's what we pay them to do.
She's brilliant at it. She is, again... Weirdly, because we often say that the essence of Strictly is someone who can't do it, mastering, being able to do it, going from nothing to from zero to hero. Actually, she's the essence of Strictly because there's something about her that she's got slightly more in common maybe with the pro dancers.
Yeah.
She is definitely one of their fellows. And
she's
I think
a bloody trooper, love.
You can see that, I think, a little bit in how much Carlos has enjoyed being with her.
Yeah.
I think that they're speaking the same language. They come from the same similar background.
Yeah,
but yeah, there's a competitiveness
know.
That I think the two of them seem to share, which
yeah,
I really like.
Yeah, usually dancers start pretty young, don't they? Yeah. They get into that professional mindset while they're still effectively children. And I bet that's what Carlos has in common with her, that if you're a sort of child star, you share that kind of ethic and that, you know,
they work together as a pair because I think they seem to be on the same wavelength.
They're a great pairing. Yeah, it was classy, it was clean, it was pure. She looked like Elsa. She had that kind of like plait extension thing tucked into her waistband. I think it was actually attached to her, like at the other end. But it was a beautiful, beautiful dance. And American Smooth, I quite like it when they do lifts to the American Smooth. There weren't that many. Can you remember any lifts?
No, it was a bit. I mean, she's in the Elsa dress. It was a bit of a party dress thing. She was like dancing at a birthday party.
But it was a gorgeous routine. I didn't. This is the point at which we ran out into the snow and I didn't write down the scores because...
We were too busy in the snow.
Yeah, no, exactly. And the TV didn't pause. So do you have the scores for this one?
I have the scores. This for Molly's American Smooth was an 8 from Craig. A 9 from Motsy, 9 from Shirley, and a 10 from Anton.
Ah, lovely Anton. Now, his 10 paddle getting plenty of action this
quite
week.
Quite worn out.
Constantly flashing his 10 paddle. Motsy said she was still giving that quality and performance level. Shirley said there was an inner magic to the way she danced. She really loved her full extensions and the way she finished everything. It was serene and beautiful. And so Anton said, I love you in this style of dancing. You look like an old-fashioned screen goddess. You're perfect. And then Craig said it was a little bit in and out of character, full of stops, a bit disappointed, actually. And she looked absolutely devastated.
Stop being mean to her. Stop bullying her.
Just stop judging her. Just let her win. Yeah, Craig's always seeing something the other people aren't. Like, he'll literally see faults where nobody else can see them and they kind of have to have a fight. But maybe that's all part of the panto.
It's his job, so maybe he's looking out for it. Otherwise, he thinks he'll be thrown out.
Yeah, his USP, I suppose, he needs to keep it up, doesn't he? Anyway, so obviously that still left them with a decent enough score. Everyone didn't. No one had a nightmare this week,
no.
Well, apart from Will. But, you know, yeah, the scores were of a level. There was literally a couple of points in it right at the end. So they did a good job. Okay, then we move on to Will and Nancy's Paso Doble, which I think was a kind of traditional tune because, again, I've just put trad.
Yeah,
they can't dance a trad every week. So Nancy looked, I mean, she looked spectacular.
Yeah.
I just watched her for this because it was just a delight to see her. That kind of incredible sort of headdress piece she was wearing. Her costume was beautiful, that kind of ruffled red skirt.
Lots of crazy leg work.
Yeah, the shapes she made were absolutely glorious. I just basically didn't stop looking at her the whole time. This was the lowest score of the night. I think largely let down by that weird cape shit.
Yeah.
Normally when you give someone like capography, they get that it's, you know, maybe that another dancer will show them and they'll copy. He was sort of, it was someone, I wish I could remember who it was, someone brilliant on Twitter. I retweeted it on our Twitter account for the podcast. Someone said, this really reminds me of the time I got stuck in trying to take a dress off over my head in Topshop in 1996.
Yeah.
And it genuinely was. It was like he sort of, it was wrapped tightly around him. It looked like a Quality Street.
It looks like
it's like throw it out to the sides, man.
Like someone trapped in a duvet trying to change a bed for the first time.
It wasn't good at all.
He also, his intensity came entirely through him having an aggressive Bruce Forsyth face.
He looked so, I mean, obviously, Paso, good, angry, aggression. That's what you're looking for. But I think, and they sort of picked up on it, in the judging panel as well, that he was pushing so hard.
Yeah.
And the words of Shirley kept haunting me. It's like, I can see you really want to get to the final. I can see. Imagine her head floating around you in a dream sequence. You really want to get to the final, to the final, to the final, to the final. He really wanted to get to the final. And he didn't hide it very well. And I think that aggression and that thrust was slightly off-putting, and also just meant he wasn't really thinking about some of the form he needed to be doing. They talked about, you know, Craig talked about tucking your bum under and, you know, getting the shaping right, the lack of flow. Oh, I don't know who she is. but Shirley said, quite cuttingly, I thought, there were quite a few things missing there.
Yeah.
You know, good storytelling, but your frame collapsed, your arms were bad, you didn't extend the cape. I mean, it was kind of a disaster for a semi-final dance anyway.
It was the moment you realised he was being outclassed by other people. Yeah. And the thing you've talked about was saying he's plateaued. He started sensationally. He was so impressive. And he's not really... There have been a couple of moments where he's been brilliant, but he's not really had the same steep curve upwards.
No.
And this was the moment you went, actually, what you should be able to do is bring that intensity and that storytelling and everything, but have the whole package.
Yeah.
And he didn't. It was just bits of it and didn't quite join up. So yeah, I could see why they were. They seemed to be sort of conspiring to get him out, the judges.
Do you
in
think
terms
so?
Of, there was a sudden thing of, well, actually, or other sort of saying, actually, that wasn't up to scratch. Here's the bar we wanted to hit.
Yeah.
You haven't hit it, so we're going to be a little bit savage. And he was really cross about that.
I would say the choreography for his second dance, which we will get to, was pretty much a way of saying, not you.
Yeah, but then the judge. But then the judges really enjoyed it. So this one felt like the judges were sort of
saying,
we can tell there's a difference between four of these dancers and this one. And it was you could feel clear water between him and the other contestants.
Yeah, I quite agree. So the judges on the whole, I mean, Motsi and Anton gave them a 9, but Craig and Shirley both 7s, which obviously is a low score. Will was gutted. He came back up to Claudia's sort of interview area and Claudia said, how do you feel hearing that? And he said, well, a bit rubbish, actually. He looked like he was about to punch someone or cry or both, and then could have caught himself and said, oh, I've just really let her down, and sort of pointing at Nancy. But I think there was something about his anger at himself that, like, it wasn't adorable.
No.
It wasn't like, I really tried and I really hope I haven't let you down, or I'll take on board what the judges said. He was like, he looked like he wanted to kill someone.
There was a bit of rage.
He really wants to be, or he wanted, we're going to have to use past tense now, I'm sorry. He really wanted to be in that final. He was, I just wrote down, he's fuming.
Yeah.
It's not the Strictly way. You take on board the comments, you can be angry at yourself. But he just looked like he was angry full stop, and Claudia handled it very well because she always does. Yeah. But it wasn't a very comfortable moment.
It's a funny thing, I think, revealed, especially with what's happened with Helen, where Helen appeared to be a little bit terrified about how far she'd got.
Mm-mm.
And you're always asking something impossible of the contestants, Strictly. They should be delighted to have got this far.
I know.
And wildly competitive and expect to be this far.
Yeah.
And we do ask impossible things of them. And I think the ones who are too competitive, we go, oh, we don't like that. And the ones who go, why don't they believe they should be there? And you know, what do we want? We're awful. I'm blaming
us. To be perfect.
I'm blaming us, the audience.
Oh, no, we're dreadful. You're not wrong. Anyway, at the halfway stage, Hamza, top of the board, 39 points. Molly, 36. Fleur, 35. Helen, 35. And then Will down at the bottom on 32. Still not a bad score, but it's the semi-final. I have to keep saying that like Shirley. It's the semi-final.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So next, Fleur and Vito are back. Completely different styling. Incredible kind of like 1960s. I'm on a Vespa. Look at me. Look at
me. It was good. Vespas
Italian
and spaghetti.
Style. So, so good. They did a Charleston to that Italian song about an Americano. I think it's to do with coffee. Anyway, I'll have mine with cold milk. It was absolutely brilliant. I thought that everything from the way she was dressed, the cute little black pumps that allowed her like the full kind of athletic scope of her movements, the lifts, the cheekiness, the personality.
Napkins biz.
Even the napkins biz. Normally it would annoy me if they pick up a prop that late in a dance, but actually bloody great. This one, delightful. 10, 10, 10, 10.
Nice and busy. I like one that I'm halfway through enjoying and then I'm like, oh, there's more. Like, you're doing a new thing.
Yeah.
Sometimes you sort of, the length of them, they're all standard, but they feel different lengths. This felt like it had loads of content in it. And also, really nice to see, Charleston's really interesting because whenever anyone does it, you're looking for a different thing to do with it. And you're sort of adding a different character to this. This was a fuck you Charleston. It was attitude-y. And sort of, but it went with all that power and athleticism that you have. It was really nice to see her do it and not, it was fun, but it wasn't cutesy.
I know what you mean.
Grounded and energetic. And it reminded me a little bit, because it was maybe a bit 60s, that last, when she did Musicals Week, she had some of that sort of West Side Story dancing in it, that Rita Moreno, I Want to Live in America kind of dancing, which is very energetic and very grounded.
Yeah.
And they'd done a Charleston, which is usually very sort of jumpy and bouncy, with that same groundedness.
They did say that. They said there was a jiviness to their Charleston.
Great.
Any dance that starts with a very nice looking man eating spaghetti makes me happy. If you just put him in a cardigan, my joy would have been complete. The judges absolutely loved it. Anton said, you're having exactly the night you need to be having in order to get from the semi-final to the
final.
Vito
did it on a full stomach. It's very impressive.
Oh, I know. Like, and didn't get the stitch or nothing. Craig said, you were almost too much in control of your body, if that's a thing, but don't worry, it was amazing. Motsy said, you know, you're authentic. She said, ta-da, I'm a Christmas present, which I think was my favourite moment of the night. Just apropos of nothing, Motsy said, it was, you know, ta-da, I'm a Christmas present.
Again, perfect. It was snowing.
That's why we
perfect
love
moment.
Her. She just said, well done, girl. Loved it. And Shirley said, it was very free. She loved her Shorty Georges. I loved her Shorty Georges. And she was just 100% committed to the dance. Craig gave her a 9 because he's a twat. And everyone else gave 10s.
Yeah, this was the one where Craig should have had that paddle.
There were at least 2 or 3 dances where that guy needs to let it go and get his 10 out.
WD-40, loosen the paddle from its moorings and bring it up. It'll be fine.
Right, who's next? It is, just audibly turning the pages of my notebook. Helen and Gorka were back with their... Argentine tango.
You like that?
It's my favourite, especially when, you know, the people involved are incredibly sexy and she looked beautiful in that kind of sheath, kind of navy glitter number with a enormous side split.
Underneath a CGI viaduct. It's about as good as it could be.
Yes, that was a pretty impressive use of CGI, I
like
I must
that.
Say.
CGI watch, bit of a winner.
We thought it was real. They'd simply built a viaduct. In the time it took Tess to say, Claudia, Tess.
They showed on Strictly It Takes Two this week, they showed the set people moving the stuff in and out, which was an amazing little sequence. And I thought maybe they brought a viaduct in. The guys appear to be able to do impossible things.
Yeah, absolutely lovely. This had everything that I want in an Argentine tango. Plenty of ganchos, lots of beautiful shapes, leg extensions, kind of really crisp, snappy manoeuvring. And just that, I love a dance that ends properly, like a proper punctuation.
Yeah.
And I'd always do, usually in this dance as well, a little gasp when they get that punctuation mark just exactly so. And this one, she was facing one way and then she just slung her leg around and then faced the other way.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful.
A real whiplash move to it. It was very, very nice. And this was one where we went, oh, actually, brilliantly, little reminders of, you can still see there's a different woman who's been sort of built up.
Yeah.
And there were little moments of doubt in her face still, because I think that's
She did look scared a couple of times when I was like, she was going, is this right?
But you noticed it in contrast to the confidence and the scaffolding that's built around her, which this displayed brilliantly. This was a better performance from her than the previous one, and I really, really liked it. But again, it revealed the fact that, God, the journey she's been on is amazing.
It is absolutely immense. The judges really, really liked it. I thought Shirley was a right old stinge bag, though. I just wrote down things like shimmering and sharp, because I am a dance expert, and I did write down that I did a little gasp at the end, so tick, tick, tick. Craig said, you put everything into that. There were tiny technical things that, you know, could be crisped up a bit, but And maybe her shoulders were a bit hunched, but it was amazing.
He also said, whatever I just said, forget it.
I know, he did say
which
that.
Which is really
forget
sweet.
What I said, because it was amazing, which is nice, because she needs to hear that.
Yeah.
Motsi said it was intense and sharp, but also soft. For me, that's the dance to go into the final with. So really encouraging. Shirley said your timing was good, but the Argentine tango is built on the silhouette. I thought her silhouettes were absolutely stunning. At that point, everyone in the studio audience started booing, and Craig was like, yes, boo Shirley, makes a nice change. But she did say it was a good performance. But yeah, I thought she was quite heavily down on it for what I thought was almost perfect dance. Anton said he could feel a frisson, which he liked. The clarity, he loved her line, said she was so improved, and that the dark sort of smouldering dances were right up her street. I agreed. Craig gave her a 9, Motsi and Anton 10s, and Shirley an 8.
Honestly.
Spoiling everything.
No wonder she got booed.
Okay, next, it is Hamza and Yevita's... I've said her name wrong, haven't I? Hamza and Yevita.
Yes.
Rivita.
Yeah.
Hamza and Rivita with their... Well, I love her. I'm sorry. I just always forget how to pronounce which is a hard one, consonant, which is a soft one. Hamza and Yevita's waltz toward the world...
A bit of Bacharach.
...needs now. Nice. Which is, you know, classic. You can't go wrong with that. He really, really cried when he... So the second lot of dances, they preceded it with a bit of training footage.
Yeah.
Where it's the one where the dance partner whops out the iPad and says, right, cry, here's your mum telling you you're special and she loves you. And he was really emotional.
The thing performers so need cute. To be told by people who should just love them anyway.
I know,
that somehow
right?
they've earned their love.
You have earned our respect. We will say it in public, but only if you're not shit.
The darkness of the performer's soul. But yes, that bit, it was everyone got a chance to have a proper weep at
Absolutely.
The people who loved them, being really proud of them, which is lovely.
Yeah, and he's always said he feels more comfortable in ballroom and he likes being in hold and stuff. And this was beautiful. I did really, really enjoy it. The judges did too. Shirley talked about him having a musical body. And now I'm just imagining him like playing the spoons on himself or something. Motsi said, you're the man of the night. You're pure, you're authentic, you have a gift, you should be proud. Anton said, bit lumpy, bit steery, no idea. Could have been great if you'd only had to do one dance this week. So he wasn't quite so in love with it, but he still gave him a 9.
Yeah, it's coming off the back of what was an astonishing first dance as well. This one was a bit more, as they sort of came out on stage, they looked like a really cute prom couple.
Yeah,
like the unlikely boy who's brought his girlfriend to the prom. And they're doing a Bacharach number, which is quite sort of a prom dance.
Yeah,
the outfitting, the costume and everything. It did feel like a really lovely one, but not as sensationally off the hook as the first one.
No, exactly.
So it wasn't as crazy.
But, you know, how to do two of those in one week? Like, I have no idea. The fact they even managed it is incredible. Craig says, you dance the music, and I love that. But at this point, I think I just wrote, so Hamza's really crying. He goes back upstairs to Claudia. He's just like, he has to hide his face. He's got his head on Yevita's shoulder. The scores come out and it's like Craig 9, Shirley 9, Anton 9, Motsi 10. Well done, Motsi. And he's just like, oh God, why am I crying? And I just wrote down, he's Paddington.
He is. And obviously the secret here is, because obviously the question is, he is a wildlife cameraman.
Yeah.
Where has he got his ability at ballroom from? And the answer is, and we worked this out in the front room, he has secretly been taught ballroom dancing by an animal.
By woodland creatures.
And I reckon what it's like, most likely to be is penguins, like in Happy Feet.
Yeah.
So secretly he's been practicing. I think he's a ringer and he's actually been taught by enchanted, animated, CGI
Talking
animated.
Penguins.
I reckon that's why the CGI crocodiles haven't been in this time round, because he says, shh, don't give away the secret.
Yeah, exactly.
That's who he's been. He's a ringer.
I don't want people to know. Yeah, no, you can't just be that good at dancing.
Where did it come from? What's going on?
Penguins! So then it was, oh, I loved this dance. Molly and Carlos, who pass a doubled to Survivor. Which
yes.
is that? That's not Beyonce. That's
Destiny's Child,
isn't it? I knew you'd know that.
Yeah.
and Shirley was up on her feet at the end of this. It was bloody great. Just, you know, she's all kind of golden and shimmering. She was throwing these incredible shades.
Yeah, she's balancing a beehive on her head at the same time, which is a real skill.
She didn't spill a single bee or any honey, so that's an extra point for that.
Yeah.
It was really feisty, really beautiful. This is the passo. Where I think towards the end of the routine is it's really building up momentum.
Yeah.
There's a bit where the music just goes twang and then she's chasing him across the floor.
Yeah.
And the amount of floor she covered, I was just, my eyes were on stalks. It was so dynamic.
It is, as a couple, what is always astonishing is how much she matches him. No matter how fast he goes, no matter how much He challenges her. She is keeping up with him. It's one of those...
Amazing.
Again, as I said, they look like a couple of pros, and I think that's astonishing. She is very much, in terms of public voting, the un-Helen. As in, everyone's going, oh, Helen's journey is incredible, so we have to vote for her.
Yeah.
No one's appreciating her journey, and her journey must include being able to keep up with a world-class ballroom dancer.
And almost at the times looking like his professional partner.
Let's remember she's very, very small, very, very young, and she has just aced this.
Yeah.
Because she has been thrown an enormous challenge, and she's just, because she's made it look like it wasn't hard, I don't think it's because it wasn't hard.
No, quite so. Shirley was up on her feet. She said, you are a survivor, because she did take note of the song. She said she did really difficult steps with ease. It's one of the best passos I have ever seen. And she was that emphatic. Yep. Anton said, you know, I have to apologise to you because I didn't think you could pull this off. And you totally, totally did. Craig said it was fantastic. Moxie said it was perfection. Thank you. And then Craig gave her a 9, obviously, even though it was perfect and he found nothing wrong with it. Everyone else 10s because, duh, it was amazing. And then each of the dance partners, each of the professional partners were asked in Claudia's interview, why should your guy or girl be in the final? And Carlos was like, almost had the cameraman round the throat, like he was looking down the barrel going, you have no idea. She works harder than me. She works harder than anyone. She's incredible. I was like, okay. She can go in the final. God. But it was really lovely because he just clearly wants to say, whatever's going on with you, look at her. Look at what she can do. This is not, don't take for granted. This is hard.
Yeah.
And she's amazing.
End to end, I thought the little moment where they got the partners to testify this time around, each one of them was really affecting.
Yeah, it was. Because
it was a chance to say, look, we've been working really hard. And again, certainly that's one of the things that's lovely about Strictly. Is it's not just about dancing and fun. It's about teaching. It's about learning. And it's about hard work.
Growing and sharing and loving and growing and sharing.
Good. And that's why it's really offensive that back in Craig's dressing room in shaped foam is a 10 paddle, which you will not bring on set.
And then, as if they didn't want us to go away from this episode with a good thought in our heads, they closed the show with Will and Nancy's Couple's Choice to a kind of Top of the Pops 1990 mega mix that has ruined, and I did really love Fool's Gold by the Stone Roses until I saw him dancing around to it in a bucket hat. To a kind of Madchester, and obviously he appears to be friends with Bez from the Happy Mondays. Yeah. Who I'm still slightly iffy about because I think he was arrested for beating up his girlfriend that time. Yeah. But anyway, bygones be bygones and all that. So yeah, Will's choice of studio guest has several times made me see Will in a different light. It's like, so Bez and Lee Francis / Avid Merrion / Keith Lemon. Yeah, no, I'm not sure your judgment's entirely great there. But anyway, so it was full on. You know, this is music I loved. It was in the turn of the decade, 80s into 90s, all this kind of Happy Mondays stuff. It was good, like sort of indie / dance music. I just didn't need to see Will in kind of baggy jeans doing this routine. I felt like, although he's very good and it was very crisp, this isn't anything you wouldn't see him do at his mate's wedding anyway.
That was it. That was for me.
And I know who his mates are, and I don't want to go to their wedding.
Yeah, this is a comfort zone dance, and it was so in his comfort zone. And this, the whole point about,
and you know, they do that because, you know, Fleur did her kind of like Beyonce thing, and it was amazing.
If I went to a mate's wedding and Fleur came on and did to Destiny's Child that dance, I'd go, bloody hell.
Yeah, you drop
Whereas
your
this,
canapes.
I'd go, God, he's a nice mover, but it was properly. What
he
was strange
did it well,
about it,
but I just didn't care to see it.
I think it's a low ambition thing, as in it's really fun, but at this point you want to see someone who's miles from their comfort zone.
Right,
that's the journey
it's
you're following.
The semi-final. That's why I think there was sabotage of it, because although he did this very well and got an incredible score for it, this is not what you do in the semi-final. You show people how far you've come. You don't show them where you started from.
It did feel like it was a way of underlining that his journey hasn't been enormously marked. And
he is a human plateau, Joel.
He started off being the most spectacular wedding disco dancer I've ever seen. And this is another way of underlining it.
And
but
he
literally
finished the same.
They put the wedding disco tunes on and he went up there and absolutely ripped it up to them. There were a couple of little references to sort of Bill and Otis Wall Street choreography.
Yeah, they were.
So they're playing with that and the hat business and
going they always
steps
have to sit on a bloody bench, don't they?
Yeah, and I sort of thought, oh, that's good. So you're playing with, and I loved that when that happened. But that weirdly did not look like Bill's comfortable place.
No.
He'd found a way to get there. This is, I think, the judges seem to think this was really impressive, but I think this really suffered from people at home going, I've probably danced to that.
Yeah.
And in my head, I dance like that to it.
Right.
And obviously, I don't.
Is it the difference between, like, someone who's a professional comedian and someone who makes their friends laugh down the pub.
Yeah.
I think Will's absolute limit is someone who is the best dancer at a disco or a wedding, reception. But on Strictly, it's like there's you literally started and left in the same, I'd say, the same vague area.
And I think the choice of songs and choice of choreography at the end was almost a terrible, grim way of underlining.
Yeah.
Not necessarily a literal lack of journey, because he obviously worked really hard. And there were a couple of moments recently where he's absolutely dazzled me.
Yeah.
But this was almost a way of saying, do you know at the beginning where you were really impressed about what you could do at a disco?
Yeah.
And they've ended the same way. There's a sabotage to that narrative, even if, as the judges said, that was impressive dancing.
I know.
I couldn't see it.
I just felt bad for Nancy because, like, she had to finish the show dressed in a kind of, shit outfit.
Yeah.
And she's such a beautiful, charismatic, wonderful performer.
Yeah.
And I just thought, that's no way to go out. No fair.
The only positive is it has opened up the possibility, and I've been going for this for ages, of the people doing the Nutty Train next time around. Or possibly just goth dancing, just shuffling backwards and forwards.
You just keep going on about this. What is goth dancing?
Just shuffling backwards and forwards in a large jumper.
I was a goth for a bit. I don't remember dancing in any way at all.
DMs, sticky floor, covered in snake bite, shuffling
snake bite
backwards
and
forwards.
Yeah,
that's
obviously.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Anyway, Craig gave them a 9, Shirley gave them a 9, and then Motsy and Anton got their 10s out. I mean, we're being very down. Obviously, he is a proficient follower of choreography. It's just not the choreography. I didn't find it very charming.
No.
I think he thought it would be charming and it wasn't really. Anyway, they dance their dance.
I wrote the word oafish. And I don't think I've ever...
It was the look on his face, that chinger that you... Yeah. If you see it coming down the pavement on a Saturday night in a city centre, you'd be like, oh, fucking hell,
I think it's because it's...
He is the guy. He is the ultimate... He's the guy who, when someone accidentally breaks a pint glass in a pub, goes, whey!
I
cannot bear it.
I don't want any choreography that includes the gesture, come on, bring it.
Oh, no.
And it had that in it. And I go, oh, no.
This it was like the Tony Adams football thing all over again, wasn't
it? It's the wrong tone for Strictly, which is glitter, sparkles and acceptance. Mm-hmm. And this was asking me out for a fight. I didn't like it. I felt threatened. I'm not that sort of man.
Only because he would have won. Yeah. So we got to the end of the competition. Obviously, everyone pretends it's the next day. And then the dance-off, I mean, we slightly predicted it. We were talking about this after the show finished. The dance-off ends up being Fleur versus Will, though, so at least it was versus someone who we actually didn't want to see in the final. Not that sounds mean. If of all the people left, he's the one was the bottom of the leaderboard and just would have been a really weird thing to see him in the final and not one of the others.
It did feel this has felt, as we said, like one of the only really open field semis into the finals we could have had, because there seemed to be a disjoint between the public's opinion of putting dancers through and the judges' opinion.
Yeah.
And there was an outside chance that the wrong people would end up in the final. I'm really glad that ceiling has cut off someone who I thought probably should have gone a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I think most of these, the last few dance-offs have kind of worked out okay in the best possible ways of leaving the good ones in. So it ended up being Fleur versus Will. They got to choose which dances they'd do again. Fleur obviously chose her brilliant Charleston.
Yep.
And then Will chose to reprise the Happy Mondays.
Yeah.
Because I guess, he got the best score and that, you'd go...
Yeah, and also, he had a bit of a mare with the previous one. So he ended up with that one. And I think, again, that pushes him into... It's not going to impress as much because, I don't know.
And I think, obviously, Fleur went into that, if you're just looking at the dance-off, she's always ahead of Will in the scoring pretty much, apart from a couple of weeks. I think the strongest dancer across the whole series... but it wasn't a foregone conclusion, I thought. It was just going to be a across the board, every judge saving Fleur and Vito. But Anton chose to save Will and Nancy, leaving it sort of in the balance.
He spotted a fluff.
Well, I think there was something about the dismount from one of those amazing lifts that was ever so slightly, wobbly. And you have to supposedly judge it on just the dance and just the dance off. But I think that's bollocks, because you don't send someone through on a technicality when they have shined the whole way through. And can you imagine the furore? Can you imagine what I'd have said? The earache you'd have
awful.
Had if Will had gone through over Fleur on one little stumble on a lift. I'd have been like, racism, it's racism. I'd have been writing columns for weeks. You'd never hear the bloody end of it.
Yeah.
So this way, at least we all get a quiet life and a nice final and everyone's happy.
So grateful. Be grateful for small mercies.
Exactly. So obviously Shirley in the end had the casting vote and she saved Fleur and Vito, and Will went home. And I think, he's had a good... This will probably do nice things for his career, because maybe he was just sort of... Well, he was doing very well, but he's been on various, kind of quite sort of successful shows, and I'm sure this will open up his casting and his ability to go and do presenting and other things if he wants to do that. He was very ambitious.
Yeah.
I will say that for him, if we're doing a little epitaph for Will. And I think sometimes that showed through a bit too much in the way that you'd expect it to with perhaps the stage school kid or the X Factor finalist. He was the one who actually couldn't keep his emotions in check.
Yeah.
And it wasn't very appealing. I've said that too many times now. Yeah. I feel like I'm bullying him.
I think this week where the pressure got to two contestants, the pressure got to this time around, which were Helen and Will. And they showed it in two very different ways, which are two very characteristic. Compare the journey.
Yeah.
Are you really ambitious? Are you really ambitious and hungry, or are you really stunned and nervous that you've got this far?
Yeah.
I think he was feeling like he was on a... His trajectory was so clear that he thought this is going to go straight through. And I think that he was annoyed with himself for failing.
He was. He was clearly rabidly angry with himself.
Why he was starting that fight in a bucket hat in a car park.
With himself.
With I don't know who.
With his own reflection in a shop window, probably.
It was ugly to watch.
I'm sure he doesn't start fights with anyone.
I'm just saying, of the sort of people there are, the sort of masculine types there are, he's the one type who hasn't got a Strictly Come Dancing podcast.
No, you're right.
He's not that sort.
Yeah, and you're very wary of them because, you know, he doesn't like musicals.
No.
I mean, maybe he does, but you do. You do like musicals and you don't like those men who like fighting.
He probably does. He took us to the theatre where he found his start this week. I was quite moved and went, oh, you're quite a twirly. I had no idea.
No.
But yeah, I think he sends out very odd signals in the sense that he clearly is a fantastically enthusiastic performer and stage person, but also dressed up in this sort of slightly blokey veneer, which is a weird match.
It is a weird match. So now we have our final four. I'm slightly worried at this stage. Normally a final is the dance the judges want to see you do again, your favourite dance and a show dance. But surely we can't be having that many dances.
I don't know. Maybe
that's,
it'll be 11
by my
hours
calculations,
long.
12 dances.
Yeah, well, obviously...
I guess they've had shows that long before.
I mean, the other thing
longer.
Is, have we got much planned for Christmas? I mean, we'll probably be doing the podcast for most of it, won't we?
Yes, I think we will. We're going to have to do dance summations, one word for each dance
next
week.
Two or three parts, just not talk about it.
As things stand, it's on Saturday, unless there's snow, football, earthquake or other.
Yeah, it keeps moving, doesn't it?
So, fingers crossed for no great disturbance in the force between now and Saturday, and we will see brackets, not actually see brackets, you on Sunday. Come and have a chat to us on Twitter at Curse of Strictly if you wish. Everyone's decided now to just fucking stay on Twitter. No one cares today. It's evil, but it's still basically fit for purpose, so it's fine. We'll see you back here then. And I can't think of anything else. Enjoy the snow if you have it.
Yep.
Only London snow, though. Provincial snow isn't as good. It doesn't really stand up to much stomping. Sorry about that. And I'm awful. I'm an awful person. We will see brackets, not actually brackets, you next week.
Brilliant.
Until then,
don't stop dancing.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.